Well, good morning and welcome. I'm the scheduled homilist for the day because it's Earth Day and we're doing something special today. And you know, at first I thought, now how am I going to do this? Because normally I talk with a PowerPoint and I was told I couldn't use that. So this is going to be a real stretch for me. And I also thought, now why would I be up giving a sermon? Because it's certainly something that I wouldn't do. But I was asked to do that. Lois asked me, and Linda asked me, and I said, well, let me pray about it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. Because I feel that sometimes God wants to just use us, and we have to step out of the way and let that happen. And so today, that's what I'm hoping, is that I can step out of the way and let the word come through. Now, I normally go walking every morning. We have a nice park nearby, and I go walking every morning. And that's one of the things I get to do, is I get to tune myself to what's happening around me. I get to tune myself to what's happening inside of me as well. And I get to focus on the great earth that we have here. I get to smell the earth. I get to feel the breezes in the morning. And it's important for me, anyway, that I align myself with the world before I go out and start my day. Now, when I first looked at the scriptures for this day, I was really hoping to find something that would support the theme of Earth Day. The first reading from Acts was about the stoning of Stephen. Now, how can being stoned to death have anything to do with Earth Day? Well, there are probably some environmentalists who would consider it to be quite an honor to be stoned to death for doing something about protecting the environment, and in such an environmentally friendly way. And then we look at the second reading from Peter. Well, Peter was talking about more stones, except, you know, we are the living stones, and Jesus is the stone that was rejected, and that rejected stone became the precious stone and the cornerstone of this spiritual building we call the kingdom of God, of which we all are a part of. Well, being rejected to become a stumbling block would really fit well with some environmentalist framework. You know, but I still wasn't seeing this connection between being a spiritual building and Earth Day. Perhaps the gospel. My final option would reveal something profound and inspirational for this Earth Day celebration. When I saw the gospel, I thought to myself, I'm in trouble. All my life, I have been taught that this passage is about heaven. And when life gets really, really hard, then think about this passage, because it is a goal of every good Christian to get one of those mansions. And then the disciples, they have to follow up Jesus' statements with rhetorical questions like, can you show us the Father? And how can we know the way? What has that anything remotely to do with life on earth and celebrating Earth Day and cleaning parks and schools and planting trees and going out and telling others and teaching others about learning the process of cleaning up and reducing our air pollution and land pollution and water pollution? Well, if you really look beyond the obvious, when I look at the scriptures today, I see relationships. There are three things that I associate with relationships: recognition, responsibility, and respect. Now, the gospel for today was Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples in the upper room. And it was just before he was about ready to go to his death and the resurrection. And he was talking about his relationship to them and how that was going to be changing. And he said, I'm going to make room for you in my Father's house. Or you can say my Father's estate, if you want to make it that broad. And looking at this passage from this side of the resurrection, we have a very different perspective than what the disciples had. Perhaps they were looking for comfort, whereas we're looking for hope. In their responses, they were looking for a literal place. And looking in hindsight, we can see that Jesus was really talking about relationship. Think about it as ohana. And for those not familiar with the term, ohana means a very broad way of saying family. And ohana can occur in a number of different ways. You can be born into your ohana, or you can be adopted into your ohana or your family. Good or bad. But you still get to be ohana, but you have the responsibilities that come with it. And our relationship or our ohana with Jesus makes our ohana or our relationship with God. You know, and then we hear Peter talk about more relationships as well. First, he talks about the relationship to Jesus as being portrayed as a spiritual building. And then secondly, our relationship to each other in that we are the living stones that we support and build upon each other. Now, in Jesus' time, the cornerstone was the first stone of a building that was put in place. And it was the most important stone. The cornerstone marked not only where the building was going to be, but also squared the building. So that if the stone was put in the wrong place, or it was put in out of square, then the whole building could be twisted. Similarly, if our lives are built on a skewed cornerstone, then all we are and do could end up a twisted mess. When we think of our world today, we can see how twisted things really can become. I'd like to share two numbers with you, 5 and 25. The U.S. population is 5% of the world, yet we consume 25% of the world's resources. Someone on Earth is only getting half a chopstick. And here are two more numbers, 20 and 15. By 2015, if we continue to develop on Oahu in the same manner that we have, we're going to reach what they call peak water, which is the ability of the aquifers here and so forth to regenerate enough water to be used. At that point, we're going to be pulling more out of our resources than what we're putting back. And one last number, 350. 350 is a parts per million of carbon dioxide that scientists had predicted when we got to that point that there would be catastrophic storms and unstable conditions. And today we are at 380 parts per million and climbing because of our insistence on living a life of abject leisure by burning 400 million plus years of fossil fuels in a couple of centuries. And we have seen catastrophic storms, melting glaciers, global climate change. And then you couple that with the impoverished of the world who are going to feel the brunt of the droughts, food shortages, floods, and diseases that will follow. You know, we're really treating the world as the world's resources as a free Visa card, which we have no intentions of ever paying. We are a world out of balance. And living on an island, everything can change in a very short amount of time. You know, it was estimated that we had 800,000 inhabitants here at the time of contact with the Western world. There were 800,000 inhabitants living a sustainable life without importing anything. So not all is gloom and doom. We have an opportunity to get off this crash course, square our relationship with God and each other and the earth. Like Thomas, you know, we may be asking, how can we know the way? Well, the first place to look is at what you're responsible for. Many of you have heard the term carbon footprint, and we had the kids out here today, and they were doing their carbon footprint and having a fun time about that. If you're not that familiar with the term carbon footprint, it's about measuring what you're doing and how much carbon that's putting into the air as an indicator of what your contribution is. And I know some of you have already calculated your carbon footprint, and I don't think it's a pretty sight. But it indicates what your contribution is, like I said. And, you know, we have to start doing something. And we have to take action to reduce our carbon footprint. Driving less, carpooling, reducing our energy consumption, finding carbon-free alternative energies. I know we're talking about putting photovoltaics in and so forth, and that's a good place to start, taking responsibility for what we're doing. You know, and part of the carbon footprint could be our garbage footprint. Remember in the gospel we were talking about Jesus preparing a place for us in his Father's house or his Father's estate? Where would you put a garbage dump in God's house? You know? If you wouldn't, then why do we insist on having one here? Let us consider this concept called zero waste. If you look at nature, nature doesn't throw anything away. It takes what is waste from one and makes a new product out of it. It recycles it completely. And you know, if the earth can do it, then why can't we? Let's think about the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but reducing, reusing, and recycling. You know, life is a relationship, and this Earth Sunday, let us make room in our life for a relationship with God, for each other, and with Earth. And let us remember the three R's of that relationship. Recognition, recognizing God in our lives, recognizing each other, and recognizing the earth. And then let's be responsible for that and have respect for it. Amen.